Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Dr. Lara Greaves this morning. Morena, Lara, how are you today?
Morena, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, good. Just sort of taking in all the big news that's happening around the motu at the moment. Let's start with the weather because it's been pretty intense. Tai Rāwhiti is currently pretty much cut off from the rest of the country due to flooding and extreme weather there. Obviously, we saw it here in central Auckland really heavily in the last few days. And this is not the first time in this year even we've been talking about big weather flooding down in the South Island. It's becoming increasingly something we are experiencing. We all know that's to do with climate change. What do we need to be talking about as a country when it comes to managing the effects of this on our more remote communities?
Oh, yeah, that's the big question now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if we cast our mind back to before COVID, we were talking about the bushfires and the fact that the sky was different. And it's like been during the COVID pandemic we've seen sort of running alongside these extreme weather events and different effects. So I think ultimately one of the sort of things around COVID that I was kind of hopeful for was that people would really see how government and firstly the power of government to change and to make changes and have influence over people's lives. Also the reciprocity there, that if you do well, sort of you become a team of 5 million and there's ability to make change there.
Mm.
And also, of course, the listening to experts. So we were very good at listening to experts and following what they were saying. Now, I was hoping that would cause some kind of a bit more hope around climate change policy, and a little bit more impetus to do things.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily clear yet how that's translated or will translate into climate change-related policy. I think one thing that we've seen in the COVID response is that for local communities, and we even see national, and Christopher Luxon kind of going this way, is that he said on New Sub Nation recently that people closest to the problem are the best people to solve the problem. So I think we're seeing that for the COVID response, that obviously local communities knew their community best and the best way to do that. I kind of am seeing it a bit in the climate change policy, is that, you know, empowering local marae, local hapu, local whatever community organisation to be able to figure out what the best climate change solutions or modifications to their infrastructure or community looks like. They're the best place people to do that. It's clear that we're going to have to do a lot of that. but again, I don't know what I can see policy drifting towards that, like the mainstream rhetoric, but not necessarily knowing the extent to which we'll be able to do that and be able to do that in a reasonable amount of time.
We're seeing around the world that there is just not enough funding allocated to mitigating the effects or managing this kind of stage that we're currently in right now. Will we see that, do you think, in this term, from this government, more money going into that area, or as you say, more resource going into those local communities and the spaces that are on the ground to help those people?
We've not seen any rumblings about that from Grant Robertson yet. He's done his first sort of, I think it was a speech around the sort of priorities for the budget. And infrastructure spending was definitely in there, and I imagine there'll be a sort of a green bent to that, that obviously everyone agrees that we need to, or most people do agree that we need to do something about climate change and make sure that things are future-proofed in that way. So I imagine that will be part of it. I guess, we'll be watching the next big event in politics is watching the budget in May.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes out and comes through there. We've kind of seen, I guess, Labor move. Well, I think a lot of people would argue that Labor has moved more towards the centre compared to where they were potentially even a year ago. And so it will be interesting to see how this translates in terms of climate change policy and anything related to new spending. They, of course, will want to keep the Greens, the delicate balance of keeping the Greens far enough away that people who believe in the Greens co-couple will vote for the Greens and that they're the standalone party, but keeping them in enough that it's clear that 2023 they could form a government together and work together. I think one of the things that I'd be watching for in the Green policy space is that gradual drift of mainstream New Zealanders, but also to see what any kind of future government would look like, which I think still, if we were betting, we would still expect a sort of left block to form the next government.
Right.
I think so that's really like the things that I would be looking for is just to see what's in the next budget, really, and see really where the default position of the Labor Party is sitting right now.
Well, that kind of segues, I guess, into talking a little bit about the other big... I mean, we're going to talk about COVID and some of the changes we've seen announced by the government yesterday shortly, but I did want to talk about the cost of living crisis, which is, I guess, the big other political conversation happening at the moment. I'm sure there are a lot of people hoping that the budget, as you mentioned, might bring in some more support for the people who are really struggling because of COVID, but also because of long-term systemic issues that COVID's really thrown into relief. We've also seen the National Party talking about it, which has been interesting. I wanted to know what your take on what we've seen from the opposition around the cost of living is. Is it genuine? Do you think there's like an earnestness to that kind of rhetoric? What's going on there?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the position of the politics as a sport just for a moment. So that removes a lot of the morality from it. Apologies, everyone. But if we're looking at politics as a sport and we think about the manoeuvres that National have made to anoint it the cost of living crisis, and Simon Bridge has kind of claimed a bit of credit for this in his recent interview with the spin-off, his sort of exit interview on the Gone by Lunchtime podcast, is that they have successfully framed inflation and house prices as a cost of living crisis. Now, inflation is quite a complicated policy. Rents, as we've seen in Luxon's recent gas, is quite a quite complex thing around the Brightline test. And all those sorts of factors and economic policy, I've been learning more about it recently, is actually really complicated and hard to predict. But if you can distill it down to the cost of living crisis, and people know, oh, well, fuel's gone up, oh, well, food's gone up, oh, well, everything goes up because fuel goes up, then that's very easy to rely on rhetorically. And I myself, cost of living crisis, 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 crisis.
Yeah.
Now, the masterful thing there for National is that when you ask people, and we've been doing this since 1990 with things like the New Zealand election study, but also the various political polls, you ask people who's best at dealing with the economy, people say National. Who's best at dealing with healthcare, social services, poverty, inequality, people say Labor. So framing it away from being about poverty and inequality has meant that people go, cost of living crisis, National.
Right.
So I'm more likely to do that, because otherwise that, well, when we call it issue ownership, although they don't necessarily own the solutions to the issue, they are viewed by the public and their brand and their identity as being good at particular things. So I think where National have kind of shown a little bit more gamespersonship, I guess, has been around this framing it as this cost of living crisis, because it does show that they're thinking about how the public perceive them and how to win votes.
If we do bring morality back into it for a minute, though, what is the, I guess, what's the substance to what we're hearing? So we're seeing, as you say, the political manoeuvres of the speeches that we've heard from Luxon about, you know, cost of living crisis. Are we hearing anything in what he's saying that suggests actually useful ways of managing it for people who are having a hard time? We've also seen some extremely, I guess, nasty rhetoric, you could say, coming out of him. The bottom feeders phrase that he used the other day has really got people's hackles up. What are we actually seeing from the opposition here? Is it just talk? Is it just manoeuvring?
I think we haven't seen enough of anything at this point. So I think most of the people that when I've read sort of economic policy commentary and writing around inflation, is that I think a lot of the people are more moving towards there being more of the welfare expert advisory group recommendations be put in place, because I think for a lot of people that are middle class, it's a struggle, and of course it will change their vote or potentially change their vote and change their lifestyles. But for it's the people who are in the working class or beneficiary kind of category that are feeling it the most and the most sort of pain there. And I think that's where that kind of sort of both policies need to be looked at. But I think in a way National would be positioning themselves that if Labor does go down that route, that they can do, you know, the classic, what, I don't know what, but I always think of the Paula Bennett and Benny bashing, you know, that kind of whole idea that the beneficiary bashing, I don't think we'd call it that now because that seems very retro, but that's that whole idea of doing it us versus them on people who are on benefits versus not, and because that would be, I think, a step too far for the sort of renewed National Party that's more soft right. I think them going pro-beneficiary would not be really that aligned with their average voter. So I think that tweaks to the welfare system seem to be, or like a fundamental overhaul, but probably tweaks seem to be more what we might see in the next budget.
It'll be very interesting to follow that one. Let's talk about the COVID changes. We've heard that some mandates, vaccine mandates, will be coming out from sectors like education, still remaining in sectors like healthcare, obviously. We're also seeing a removal of the vaccine pass system and a change to the number of people that will be able to gather outdoors and indoors under red and orange light settings. Now, these have been, I guess, mixed in the response from the public. There's a lot of anxiety and frustration, particularly from immunocompromised and disabled communities, who are saying you take the restrictions off one group of people, unvaccinated folks, and then you put it really heavily socially and in a lived experience way onto those people who will have to basically restrict their own movement to keep themselves safe. What are we seeing politically across the board? How are the different parties responding to the government's announcement yesterday?
I think that's been a really interesting thing in our pandemic response, is that the average position of the government has drifted considerably from the average position of the experts. So something happened in around October, November, where it potentially felt like the government was losing the public, and the government has moved away from that point, because we saw people like Michael Baker a few days ago say, well, and he's been saying all along that we did need to add the third, the booster shot to the vaccine passes and keep those vaccine passes in place. It's clear that this is one of those quite pragmatic decisions where the government want to bring back tourism, and that tourism is a huge earner for New Zealand. And that's, I'm like, see also the green debate. This is where we're like, climate change debate. Because this is where it's a bit depressing that a government would prioritise going back to pre-COVID tourism, or trying to get back to pre-COVID tourism, over what might be the best course for this stage of the pandemic, and to also for people and for the vulnerable, for them to have to, as you said, take their health into their own hands if they can, and try to put in place their own measures. So I think that would be disappoint a lot of people on the left, those two facts, because that's kind of not what they would expect from a government that was talking about kindness. And had relied so heavily internationally on saying, oh, well, we listen to our experts. So that's, I think, been a bit of a shock for people, and because this has all been moving quite quickly. We've seen the Green Party align more with what I was just saying there on the left. And we've seen sort of ACT and National push for more restrictions coming off. And so I think part of the pushing for more restrictions coming off is that the restrictions were always going to come off gradually, because that's just the nature of the pandemic. And that National and ACT have been constantly trying to put things out there and then go, oh, well, the government listened to us. The government followed what we said. And that's quite a handy tool for them to have and then lead up to the next election, to be able to say in the debates, well, we said, you know, Chris Bishop, as the COVID response spokesperson, said this, this, this and this, you did this, this and this. So that's, I think, where they're headed with that, although, of course, the opening up for business and opening up for tourists does really align with their central values as well.
Well, it'll be... No, you carry on then.
I think the biggest risk, though, and that's going back to what the experts are saying, is really seeing what's going to happen next. Because I think one of the key things here is politics, no matter what, all of that stuff, we actually can't control a virus.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how it comes out in the wash, I guess. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Dr. Lara Greaves. It's always fantastic to have you on the show. Take care, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks' time.
Thank you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
Thank you so much.